Praised be Jesus and Mary. This is the nation that does not listen to the voice of the Lord, its God. They walked in the hardness of their evil hearts and turned their backs to me. So the prophet Jeremiah speaks to us in the first reading today. So just one reflection today, but an important one, a relatively important one. Because in the last few weeks, we have all probably heard a lot of speculation about how the church possibly might be altering the way it deals with those Catholics who are divorced, remarried, and still want to be admitted to the sacraments, especially to Holy Communion, either in Catholic news or even in the secular news. This has been big, and it's been causing a lot of confusion. Because turning their back on the Lord, some would like to see a change in the traditional doctrine on the matter. And what set the confusion in motion was a speech, a proposal given by one of the cardinals who met in a consistory, the preparatory consistory of cardinals in Rome in preparation for the Synod on the Family, which will meet in October. This proposal, which was supposed to be a quote-unquote a secretive meeting, where ideas were discussed in preparation for the synod, the upcoming synod, but somebody with either a good intention or a bad intention, let's not judge them, but somebody leaked out one of the proposals, and just one, and the most controversial one, the one by a German cardinal, Walter Kasper. Probably you've heard the name. This has gotten a lot of people worried or confused. And why? Because it goes against the gospel and against church teaching on marriage. So what did the cardinal say? America Magazine, always very careful not to capitalize the C in church in their articles, summarizes and embraces the ideas of the cardinal. I quote, "The church also might consider some form of canonical penitential practice, a path beyond strictness and leniency, that would adapt the gradual process for the reintegration of sinners into full communion with the church that was used in the first centuries of Christianity." The citation continues, "To avoid the greater evil of offering no help to the divorced and remarried," parentheses, straw man argument, be careful, the church never stops offering its pastoral help to those who are divorced and remarried. It always reaches out to them pastorally by its prayer, etc., etc. Close parentheses. "So to avoid this fictitious greater evil and to avoid cutting them off from the sacraments," another parentheses, "the church never cuts off anyone from the sacraments. It's a right of the faithful to receive the sacraments if they are well disposed, but some people, by their decisions, make themselves ill disposed to the sacraments." Close parentheses. "So, to avoid this greater evil, to avoid cutting people off from the sacraments," the cardinal said, "the church could tolerate that which is impossible to accept, a second union, a pastoral approach of tolerance, clemency, and indulgence. The gradual process of reintegration of sinners into full communion with the church, great, let's pray for that, but a toleration of that which is impossible to accept, that's impossible to accept." And as incredible as it might be, and with all due respect for this cardinal, this cardinal had the audacity to propose this in front of the Pope and in front of the College of Cardinals. But what people who share these ideas do not know, forget, or want to forget is the fact that in the church, sure, sinners were reintegrated into full communion after penitential practice, penance was not just some work that you did and went back to sinning. No, a condition for reintegration was repentance. The church has always said to sinners, go and sin no more. The church has never and will never tolerate second marriages for those people whose husbands or wives are still alive. Because marriage is not a human construction. It's not just a social factor. It's a symbol of that union between church and God, between God and the church. And just as God never abandons his church, no matter how sinful its members might be, he never goes off to found another church which he likes better, and then if that church is unfaithful, he founds another church and goes on and on like that. No, God's faithful to his church. Same way, the church is always faithful to its God, cannot go off and serve false gods. In the same way, marriage, being a symbol of that unity, is indissoluble. So the church has always forgiven those who have sinned against their marriage, but has always told them, go, you are forgiven, but sin no more. And this is being forgotten today. And if there is little respect for marriage, for the sacrament of marriage, the symbol of the church's union with God, of the church's fidelity to God, it cannot be but an indication that in those who propose such ideas, the reality of that union, the reality of that fidelity to God, is ailing or altogether lacking. Another Italian cardinal, in reaction, Cardinal Caffara, in reaction to Walter Kasper's proposal, very clearly and logically asks and says, I quote, those who make these suggestions have not, or at least up until now, answered one simple question. What happens to the first valid and consummated marriage? If the Church admits them to the Eucharist, she must render a judgment on the legitimacy of the second marriage. It's logical. But as I said, what about the first marriage? The second marriage, if we can call it that, cannot be a true second marriage because bigamy is against the teaching of Christ. So the first marriage, is it dissolved? But all the popes have always taught that the pope has no authority over this. The pope does not have the power to dissolve a valid and consummated marriage. The proposed solution seems to imply that although the first marriage continues, the church can somehow legitimate a second relationship. But in doing this, the proposal demolishes the foundation of the church's teaching on sexuality. At this point, we have to ask, why then can we not approve of unmarried couples living together? Or why not homosexual unions? The question is simple. What about the first marriage? No one has yet answered the question. In the year 2000, John Paul II, speaking to the Roman Rota, said, it is clear that the Roman pontiff's power does not extend to valid and consummated marriages, and this is taught by the magisterium of the church as a doctrine to be definitively held, even if it has not yet solemnly been declared through a definitive act. The cardinal continues, it's a technical formula, a doctrine to be definitively held, and it means that on this point, there is no further discussion to be had among theologians, nor doubts among the faithful. End quote. If anyone desires to receive Holy Communion, he must first be in communion with our Lord, with his teachings, with the moral demands of our Lord's teachings. The Catechism reminds us, sure, there are today numerous Catholics who divorce and remarry, and this goes on all over the world. But in fidelity to the words of Jesus Christ, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. The Church maintains, therefore, that a new union cannot be recognized as valid if the first marriage was valid. If the divorced are remarried civilly, they find themselves in a situation that objectively contravenes God's law. Consequently, they cannot receive Eucharistic communion as long as that situation persists. Reconciliation through the sacrament of penance can be granted, but only to those who have repented for having violated the sign of the covenant and a fidelity to Christ, and who are committed to living in complete continence. Reconciliation through penance, through confession, and if cohabitation with one's husband or wife is impossible, then continence. So let's conclude with the words of one American cardinal, Cardinal Burke, who said, there are many difficulties with the text of Cardinal Kasper. I say that openly. We acknowledge that openly. And I trust that in the coming days, as that text is becoming more and more used and is becoming a kind of a rallying point for people who falsely believe that the Church's practice in this regard could change, I trust that the error of his approach will become ever clearer. The fact that he gave the text out before the College of Cardinals does not in any way signify that it was well received by all the cardinals. So it consoles us to know that there are still cardinals, men of the Church, who are not ashamed of the gospel, who are not ashamed to teach the teachings of the Church, who accept the yoke of Christ. This consoles us, and we should pray for these men of the Church, and we should be amongst the number of the faithful who share their position. And we should also pray for those who sow dissension, who sow division, for whatever reason they do it. We pray that an end to the confusion might arrive, and might arrive soon. And that, sure, the Church has to extend mercy to sinners, but that it might always do so in and according to the truth, always according to the gospel. After all, we are Christians, and we have to follow the gospel if we want to be Christians. So let's close with Blessed John Paul II again. The Roman Pontiff's power does not extend to valid and consummated marriages, and this is taught by the Magisterium of the Church as a doctrine to be definitively held by all the faithful. Our Lord says to us today, through the mouth of the prophet Jeremiah, listen to my voice. Listen to my voice. Do not harden your hearts. Then I will be your God, and you shall be my people. Praised be Jesus and Mary.